My name is Michelle Owu. I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. The purpose of the research is to compile a picture of contemporary Britain. The date today is the 17th of July 2009, and the time is 10:24 a.m. Can I ask you please your name, your age, and where you come from?
I'm Eleanor, or I prefer to be called Ellie Whitney. I'm 27, and I live in Bristol, but I come from Southend-on-Sea.
How did you hear about the project?
I can't remember when I first heard about it. It seems to have been in my consciousness for a really long time. But my mother-in-law was the person who rang me up the night before and said, "You have registered, haven't you?" And I got really panicked. That was the last time to register, and then realised that was the start date for registering. So she was the one that made sure that I got online.
What was the particular reason that you wanted to get involved and take part in this project?
Because I'm really involved in the arts. I studied history of art at university. For as long as I can remember, I've been visiting art galleries and been really excited by anything artistic. And I now work as a curatorial assistant. So I am responsible for looking after paintings and sculptures, and the idea of being a piece of art was really exciting to me, and it's a really unique opportunity. I've always really liked Anthony Gormley's work, but I was really also excited because throughout my time studying and working in museums, I've always been like a really keen advocate of the fact that museums and art exhibitions should be about everybody and for everybody. They shouldn't be elitist, they shouldn't be for people that have a certain amount of knowledge, and they should excite people and inspire them. And this project is very democratic. It's about everybody. It's saying put normal people up on the plinth, not just famous warriors, famous leaders. So the idea of getting involved in something which really represents my beliefs about the arts was really exciting.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your today role?
I work for the House of Commons, and I'm part of the curator's office there, and we look after all of the paintings, drawings, prints, sculptures that belong to the House, and both the House of Commons and the House of Lords. And my role in particular, I do a lot of research for the department, so if anything, if we don't have enough information about something, it's my job to go into the archives and to try and find out when something was made or where, or a bit more about the artist. And I'm also responsible for the photography of works to make sure we've got a digital record of each of our works so that people can use it in publications, academic publications, guidebooks, things like that. I'd look after we look after the building as well. So it's a really exciting place to work because it's that sort of connection between people and art. And what you see in the buildings of Parliament is people trying to use art to show something about Britain, which is the same as here, really.
Can anyone go and see this collection?
Anyone can go and see the collection, although it's quite tricky to see some bits. What we have is a thing called a line of route, and that's the public tours. Anyone can go on the line of route. In term time, which is when the politicians are working, you have to ask your MP, and then they'll get you a ticket to go. And outside of term time, there are public tours. So when the MPs are on holiday, then the public tours run all the way around the building, and you can just turn up and go on one of them. During term time, only British citizens can go because you have to ask your MP. But outside of term time, tourists can go too. Although some of the works of art are in, it is like MPs' offices, so you wouldn't be able to go and see them. You can see all the main works of art. If you wanted to see something that's a bit more tricky to get to, you'd phone our office and one of us would be able to arrange for you to go and see it. So it is possible to see every single work of art. It's just slightly trickier to see some than others.
How long does it take between contacting the MP and getting the go-ahead to go to the...
Oh, I'm afraid I'd know that. We have a tours office as well. So in the curator's office, we really concentrate on the artworks. And we do tours, but less often. The tours office would be able to answer those questions.
What is your favourite artwork?
My favourite artwork? There's a corridor called the East Corridor, and it's got a series of paintings which they're really exciting to me because I've always been very interested in the relationship between art and politics and the way people use art to make political messages. And this corridor is really interesting because the series of paintings show elements of British history that are supposed to be formative in the way that British politics is now. So sort of, I think they're all Tudor scenes, and they're all saying the Tudor dynasty was the start of Britain as we know it. It was the start of governance as we know it. It was the origins of Parliament, when the houses of York and Lancaster were united. That's the beginning of Britain, the way that we know it. And there's this beautiful scene, and it's just really elegantly painted. There's lots of drama of the rose being thrust by the member of one house at the member of the other. You can see there's tension in the unity. But I love the idea that not only are the paintings of the Tudor era, which is the whole building is a Victorian Gothic recreation of an idea of this ideal England. There never was England in the way that they depict it, so it fits in thematically with a Gothic style building, but it also shows a political moment in the history. But the whole concept of this corridor was that it was funded by liberal peers from the Liberal Party, and so they were very subtly trying to get across their political message. There's a picture of Henry VIII divorcing Catherine of Aragon, and it's meant to show the moment where Britain broke from the Roman Catholic Church, and it's a really important moment when Britain said, right, we're separate, we make our own rules. So it's something for the country to be proud of, but it's also because the Liberals at that time were supporting a change in the divorce laws, so it was getting across a very subtle Liberal message with a bigger political one. I love the idea of being able to say more than one thing with what you paint or what art you produce. It's a bit long-winded.
Can you describe for me what you're wearing, your accessories?
Yes, I'm wearing a necklace by a jewellery company called Tatty Divine, and they make jewellery from acrylic. I've always loved them because they're really fun and eccentric and big jewellery. And this is a piece commissioned by the Baltic Art Centre, and it's to commemorate 10 years of the Angel of the North being in position. So it is a small acrylic replica of Anthony Gormley's Angel of the North, and I thought it would be appropriate to wear it today.
What are you going to do with your hour on the 10th?
With my hour, I am going to try, if the weather holds out, it's looking okay at the moment, to make a large origami peace crane. And I'm also going to give out 100 small peace cranes, if possible. Basically, I had a little think about what I wanted to do, and Anthony Gormley's concept of humanity, putting members of the human race on the plinth, really appealed to me. And I thought about the meaning of the word, and thought humanity doesn't just mean mankind, the human race, it also means being humane, demonstrating your humanity to other people. And so I thought making an emblem of peace while I was up there would be a good way of demonstrating my humanity to other people. Traditionally, it's not been that long. This is why I've got a little paper here to try and remind myself. But in Japan, the crane became recognised as a symbol of longevity, because thinking about the 11th century, they did one of the first sort of animal programs where they tied identification onto each of the cranes and then came back and saw which cranes were returning to breeding grounds. So they actually studied them, and the myth that went about was that some of the cranes were returning hundreds of years, that they were living for hundreds of years. So it became known as a symbol of longevity. And in the 11th century, a warrior, as thanks for winning a great battle, released 100 of them to be free in the wild. So they were sort of saved from a life in captivity as thanks. And that was the first time that the crane became recognised as this symbol of longevity. 1,000 cranes would be released. And then after the Hiroshima bombings, there was a little girl called Sadako. I'm not sure how you pronounce her name, but she was born a couple of years before the bomb was dropped. And when she was 11, she found she had leukemia. And she'd heard this story from one of her friends about the 1,000 cranes for longevity. And at that stage, it was believed if you created the 1,000 cranes, you could make a wish for long life. And so she got partway through making these cranes before she died. And after she died, her friends continued to make the cranes so she could be buried with her 1,000 cranes. And they also raised money to make a statue of her. And when they made the statue of her, it shows her with her crane. And the plaque at the bottom makes a memorial to her, but also to all the children who died as a result of the Hiroshima bombings. So it was a peace statue. It was the first time that the crane, which is a symbol of longevity, became recognised as a symbol of peace. So that's the sort of history behind why the crane is a big peace symbol and why I'm going to be making it today.
How would you describe yourself? How would you paint a picture of yourself?
Oh, that's a tricky one. Well, I think you've probably gained so far that I'm chatty. I'm very talkative and very passionate about the things that I care about. Physically, I'm very tall. So I guess I kind of make a big impression. I tend to just sort of go out there and say what I think and say what I feel, and I'm not good about coming forwards.
Did you bring anybody with you?
I haven't brought anybody with me to come and register, but I think I've got a lot of people coming to see me. It's really strange. I was expecting just to sort of tell everybody that I was going to go up and they'll say, oh, that's really nice for you. But everyone seems to be massively excited, which I was unhappy about, because my mum's much more excited about seeing me do this than seeing me graduate last week. She was, it wasn't quite so excited about that. But yes, I've got my mother and my sister, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law, cousins, aunts and uncles, and of course, because I work just down the road, all of the people from my office are coming along too. And random friends who I just let everyone know on my Facebook page that I was going to be on. And so all my friends that are working in London have promised that they're going to pop down. I'm really lucky because I'm quite close to sort of lunchtime, and it's going to be easy enough for people to take early lunches.
Do you have any hopes or fears around this project, taking part in this project today?
My fears are primarily that my paper's going to get soggy and that I'm not going to be able to throw my cranes off, that I'm going, because I throw like a girl. I'm just awful at throwing things. So they're my fears, and that I'm going to get absolutely soaked. My hope is that I make people feel good, because even though I'm going to be able to explain to people what I've explained to you about the concept behind what I'm doing and about the idea of trying to make the world a little bit better in just a tiny weeny way, I'm hoping that by giving everybody something, just a little bit of paper, that it's just going to cheer people up a bit and that will be enough for me. I don't want to make a big impact. I want to have my hour of fame. I just want to make everyone smile a bit more than they were smiling anyway. And I think the project's doing that anyway, so that's really good.
Do you have any expectations about what it might be like?
Yeah, probably more nerve-wracking than I expect it to be. Does that sound strange? I've got the expectation that it's going to be... I've been excited about it, but I haven't really had that sort of adrenaline pumping feeling. And I think that by the time I get up there, I'm going to realise that actually it's a sort of bigger deal than I've been anticipating, that it is more scary being exposed, being put up there for everybody to see, and sort of not being able to escape. With most other things, if you find that you're not enjoying them, then you can just say, oh no, thank you, it's not for me. But that whole kind of, I've not been scared by it or worried or anxious, but that's usually how I approach everything in life. I don't go into things with any fear, and then when I get into them, I suddenly realise what I've let myself in for. So I think that's what I'm anticipating. I'm anticipating that I'll get up there and suddenly get stage fright.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I can't think of anything else. No, I just I hope that this all becomes a really valuable resource for people. It'll be really nice.
Thank you very much.
It's okay.